Whenever games like this happen and you get an offensive explosion, especially after such a long stretch where you experience the team just grinding so consistently, I always think of that clip from The Godfather 3, the lampoon on The Sopranos, you know, like the one where Al Pacino goes, "Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in." Right? The Jays had actually scored 2 runs or less in 5 of the last 10 games. And then today they rock 5 home runs en route to a 10-3 win. Phenomenal stuff by Toronto today. Welcome to Jays Talk across the Sportsnet Radio Network, streaming live on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Show Ali here with you, taking your calls and texts. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cellular device. 590-590 is where you can text me. That's the people's text line, and it is always open. You know, I don't know. We just all needed a game like this, really. You guys needed it. I needed it. The players certainly needed it. It always feels good when you can collectively take a breather, or at the very least, maybe a better way of describing it is letting out a breath that you don't always realize you're holding, almost like in a stressful fashion, right? Like just a nice exhale of a game in Cincy. It does kind of make you think, what if, when it comes to the lineup that was run out there behind, I guess it was Barrios on Friday, but even so, taking 2 of 3 on the road is never an easy thing to do. Sportsnet stats actually tweeting this out towards the end of the game. They say the Jays recorded a season high 10 extra base hits today in the win. So a lot of positives today for everyone to go along with those 5 home runs. I wanted to get to this right off the bat, since I actually do want to chat about Hyunjin Ryu to start, despite the offensive explosions from the bats. But yes, at 83 pitches, just because there was some text about this, at 83 pitches, yes, Ryu could have, in theory, gone back into the game for the 6th inning, but Spencer Steer coming in there to wrap up the best outing of bats since he has to offer in that 6th inning because he was the first batter. Ryu is a guy coming off of TJ surgery, as we all know. Even when he was being initially stretched out, he had been going to around 85, 90 pitches anyway. And then on top of that, tomorrow is a day off with one of the more consistent bullpens available to you. It almost made too much sense to pull Ryu in that spot after cruising, relatively speaking, unscathed through his entire outing. So I actually have no issue with Ryu being pulled, despite the fact that I would like to see him go a little bit longer sometimes. But I don't know, at age 36, that much mileage on the arm plus the surgery he's coming back from, I'm not sure like he is the specific guy you want to necessarily push for more pitches. So again, 5 innings pitched from Ryu, 4 hits, 2 runs, neither of which were earned, just the 1 walk, 7 strikeouts on 83 pitches, 56 of them were strikes. Like, he looked phenomenal. He looked so phenomenal. Comfortable all day, and of course, you know, things slightly unravel in that second inning. But you know what? Hyunjin Ryu, one of the things I have always liked about him, and I admit, obviously, I watch way more of Ryu now than I did when he was a Dodger or when he was in the KBO. But still, even going back to those highlights he'd seen, especially the year he won the ERA title right before he signed with the Blue Jays when he was with the Dodgers, he has never in his career ever really looked all that rattled when anything negative happens to him. Like, maybe a part of it is simply that he is a seasoned vet. Like I said, 36 years old, a lot of service time under that belt of his. But I do genuinely think a bigger part is that Ryu, maybe more than most people, just has a lower resting heart rate. Like, most of the contact for Ryu came off the fastball, which is not all that surprising considering it tops out at like 90, 91 miles an hour. But he used that curveball to freeze a ton of batters today. He did it to Joey Votto. He did it to Ellie De La Cruz. It felt like multiple times. Guys just could not see that 65, 67 mile an hour curve coming from way outside the zone at any point, it felt like. But he threw the curveball. It actually felt like he threw it a lot more, but he threw the curve 19.3% of the time today, according to Baseball Savant. He also used the cutter and, of course, one of his better pitches, as we're used to seeing, the changeup, quite a lot. He threw the cutter 13% of the time and the change 21.7% of the time. he still used his fastball to get by. He threw it 45% of the time today. But for a guy who has just come back, all things considered, this is what it was, his fourth start since returning from Tommy John surgery, the precision looks amazing. I think actually it's impressive because it feels like usually when guys come back from Tommy John, the precision stuff is the last thing to come back instead of the fastball. I don't know if it's because Ryu's fastball has just never been all that lethal in terms of velo, but hey, he was placing the fastball well today as well. He froze guys all day long with his pitches, and he just looked phenomenal. And again, five innings pitched, four hits, no earned runs. Two runs were unearned, one walk, seven strikeouts. That is exactly what you want. That is exactly what you want from ostensibly your fifth starter, right? Of course, that's kind of production you were hoping, at the very least, you were hoping you were going to get from, let's say, Alek Manoah at the beginning of the season. But considering that, I remember we had this conversation before the trade deadline, but I remember we had kind of like a tongue-in-cheek a little bit, the conversation of, oh, well, will Hyunjin Ryu be the quote-unquote trade deadline acquisition the Blue Jays were looking for at the deadline? It kind of feels like, despite the fact that we were like joking about this, kind of feels like that is what ended up happening, because at the very least, again, relatively small sample size with what, four starts, but at the same time, Ryu has been so good, you kind of hope he continues this going forward. Let's go to the text line, 590-590, name and location. Go to the phones in a quick second, but I wanted to read some of these Ryu texts. And there's one from, oh, here it is. There's actually two here. Rod in the lower mainland in BC. Appreciate the text, Rod. He just says, Ryu cruising through the fifth was the most fun I've had watching the Jays in a long time. Let's go, Jays. I see one here from Rudy in Winnipeg. Says, I feel weird writing this, as I've always looked at his time with the Jays being done as soon as his contract is over. But with his resurgence coming off of injury and the Jays' lack of starting pitching depth, do you see the club re-signing Ryu in the offseason, maybe to a one-year deal or a one-plus option? Again, feel weird thinking this. Does this make sense to anyone else? It's from Rudy in Winnipeg. It's, you know what? It's a good question, because I kind of agree with the first part of Rudy's sentiment in that I've always kind of felt almost no matter what happened for Ryu, that his time with the Blue Jays probably is coming to an end this current offseason. I maybe put it another way. It's not as though anyone, I think, would be mad to see the Blue Jays re-sign him to a one or a one plus a club option, let's say, for the second year of the deal, or you know, a mutual option, perhaps, if you want to go that way. But, and hey, he's pitched well so far, like we're talking about. But I don't know. It just perhaps feels as at age 36, there might be another team out there that could use starting pitching depth. And of course, to Rudy's point, the Blue Jays are one of those teams that could use starting pitching depth. But if you think about the starting rotation for 2024, at the very least right now, still feels relatively premature. But even so, if you're looking at guys who are under contract for a couple more years, you got Gausman, Berríos, and Bassett. You have Yusei Kikuchi entering the final year of his deal next year. And then you have Manoah. Now, you're not sure what you're going to get from Alek Manoah, and you certainly hope what you're getting from all four of Gausman, Berríos, Bassett, Kikuchi is what you are going to get from them again next year. But, you know, if Alek Manoah can bounce back, then you kind of already have a five-man starting rotation set already. Now, again, if Hyunjin Ryu wants to come in and they do want to roll with a six-man rotation, does that speak to something going on larger for Manoah? But again, it just, the next year is so far away that I kind of feel like it will hinge on what's going on with Manoah specifically. But hey, let's say that Ryu does, it is open to coming back to the Blue Jays. I wouldn't mind it. It just feels like there might be maybe a better fit for him elsewhere. I mean, look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the team he just left to come to the Blue Jays, just, of course, doing a lot of heavy lifting there, just being like 3 years ago or whatever it is. But at the same time, the Blue Jays are a team that, while they could using starting depth, I don't know, Dodgers, other teams that are going to likely see some departures in the offseason. Julio Urias might no longer be a Dodger after this coming offseason. So I could very well see Ryu going back to the West Coast, where he's very, very familiar with, or going somewhere else entirely. It does kind of feel like a big part of him pitching well this season was not an audition necessarily, but was just for teams to make sure he does have the stuff. And through a couple starts coming off of the TJ surgery, he certainly looks like he does have it. Let's go to the phones. 416-870-0590. 1-888-660-590, *590 on your cell. Eddie joining us from Fort Erie. Eddie, what's on your mind?
Not much. So, how are you today?
Good, man. Always good when the Blue Jays get you a bit of a laugher of a win. That's always nice.
Oh, definitely, for sure. And you know what, Sho? I wanted to talk about this series because it got me thinking about a couple of series down the road. I know you don't want to look too far to that, but it's hard not to notice sometimes. But when I saw they were going to Cincinnati, I thought to myself, you know what? I want to see how they can play both pitching-wise, defensive-wise. Well, today was not really good, but hitting-wise as well, because – in a couple of weeks, they're going to go to Colorado, right? And that's just as much of an offensive ballpark as it is in Cincinnati, because, you know, with the altitude and everything like that. And I thought it was really good how they did all those things. And it just gives me that little bit of confidence, being like, okay, they did good in Cincinnati. Now I believe they can do it in Colorado, because that's not going to be fun. Like I said, now I heard you talking about Ryu today. I agree with you. He pitched great. And you know what that came from today? Familiarity. None of those Reds hitters today have faced him before. And you saw one of the pitches that he threw to De La Cruz on that strikeout. When you've never faced somebody before, you have the advantage, in this case, Ryu. And I'm glad that he exploited that weakness that the Reds had against him, because, you know, when you never faced somebody, you know, take it to him.
Hey, Eddie, I agree with you, man. Thanks for the call. Thanks for joining me on Jays Talk. It's kind of to go back to what Bassett, we actually played the clip on Jays Talk yesterday, but Bassett actually was asked that exact same question. And he's a humble guy. And you know what? Ryu is as well. So I bet he is going to similarly defer the idea that it's about unfamiliarity. But I kind of think you're right, Eddie, honestly. Like, I really do believe that. You look at the Reds lineup. And again, this is a pretty good lineup that has been much better than expected for, I would say, the vast majority of 2023. But Matt McClain, Elly De La Cruz, Spencer Steer, Christian Encarnacion Strand, TJ Friedl to a lesser extent, and certainly Noelvi Marte, who made his major league debut, got his first major league hit. I know he pinch ran yesterday, but he major league debut in the actual lineup today. All of those guys, less than 100 games played in Major League Baseball. They've all been very, very good. Of course, the Reds are missing guys like Jonathan India, and they're missing guys like Kevin Newman. They're missing Nick Senzel, I believe. There's some other guys that are missing as well, but a lot of the youth movement, they've been very good, but just like yesterday, they do not have the familiarity. And savvy pitchers like Bassett and Ryu, they're able to carve guys. I think it just generally speaking, it is funny to think that I think that some of the guys who had the best ABs over the course of the five innings where he was in the game were probably guys like Luke Maley and Joey Votto. And those are guys that are seasoned vets as well. Joey Votto probably going to retire after the season, 39 years old. And he had some pretty nice approaches against Ryu, probably could have gotten on base for the first time this year, or gotten his first hit of the series, rather, against Ryu, but if not for some pretty good defense as well, which the Jays have made a hallmark of their team this year. But I agree with your point, Eddie, that when it comes to the Ryu familiarity against the Reds hitters, it's just not as existent. Let's play some audio, actually, just because we are talking about Hyunjin Ryu. I wanted to get to a little bit of what Schneider had to say on his performance, because, of course, like we're talking about, he has been phenomenal. After the first inning against the Orioles at the Rogers Center, the day of the trade deadline, after that one inning, I would say Hyunjin Ryu has been largely terrific. So let's hear what John Schneider had to say after the five innings of 2-run, 0-earned-run ball today in Cincinnati.
Yeah, he topped out at 90. He got up there to 90. I think it was just location, right? His curveball was really good. Used it at the right time, kind of change up after that. And then when got guys looking out there, went heater in, kind of typical him. But, you know, really hot day today. I thought that he kind of emptied the tank there in the fifth after the first two guys got on. But I thought he just located everything really well today.
See, John Schneider just used the words, he emptied the tank. So maybe the idea, 83 pitches, I think 56 of them were strikes. Maybe that's just the simple way of saying, you know what, he was never going to go past mid 80s pitches. I suppose there's always the case you could have made, he could have come back out for like one more batter, but I don't know. Spencer Steer, right-handed batter, Ryu is obviously a lefty. You can still get in maybe a guy that has some little more oomph on the velo with Yenesis Cabrera, which is exactly what happened. And you know what? Spencer Steer still doubled off of Cabrera before he retired the next three batters. So again, I have no real problem with taking out Hyunjin Ryu after 83 pitches. Another thing that Schneider did discuss today was Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Nick Blackmore, our producer, just letting me know that it is, they said this during the game, but left middle finger discomfort for Vlad. He is day-to-day, and Schneider says he is expecting him to be fine. And it was an interesting moment when he was taken out, right? In the bottom of the fourth inning, or I guess at the top of the fourth inning, with a left middle finger discomfort, you see the trainer go out there and check that middle finger of his after he lost his bat on the swing. And maybe he was actually having some trouble holding the bat like he usually does, or like he wants to. And then he gets walked in that same AB. You could actually see him on the broadcast on TV exchange the batting glove for like the oven mitt he uses when he runs, and his middle finger was taped. So perhaps something he has been dealing with for a little bit, maybe something we haven't heard about. Perhaps it was removed largely also because it was a big lead at that point. Perhaps a precautionary move more than anything else. I am interested to hear over the next couple of days, especially with the off day tomorrow, if it is something serious. Maybe John Schneider will address it a little bit more. Maybe the insiders will have something like Shai or Ben or Arden, but it's also possible they are just relatively opaque about it. But we'll wait for any further commentary on that for the rest of the week as the Blue Jays head off to Baltimore to take on the Orioles on Tuesday. But yeah, if Vladdy is injured for any period of time, certainly not great, but maybe it does to a certain extent explain what's been going on with him offensively, because there was a moment, and now I'm blanking on what games it was, but it wasn't that long ago, like within the past month, I would say, and we saw it on the road and at the Rogers Center, where he would not wear batting gloves. He would go up there without batting gloves, and I kind of wonder, maybe he was just trying different things just because he was in somewhat of a slump, quote-unquote slump, but I kind of wonder if maybe there's also some injury issues there. We'll have to see. Maybe some nagging things. Of course, attrition sets in for, I don't know, virtually every player over the course of the entire season in literally every sport. So perhaps not a huge shock to see that he is dealing with nagging injuries. Let's go back to the text line, 590-590, name and location. I see here, show when the Jays are on, when the Jays are quote unquote on, they are really good. A fabulous day all around. Go Jays. That's from DB in London. I see here, oh, this is an update actually for everyone who not seeing the out of town scoreboard. We'll do this more on the other side of the break, but this is from Kevin in Toronto. He says, I think Seattle sweeping the Astros actually a good thing for the Jays. They're now two spots available in the wild card, and it's true, with the loss to the Mariners today, the last couple of wild card spots all very much bunched together. Like, again, we'll talk about this more after the break, but Astros are 70-55, the Mariners are 69-55, the Jays are 69-56. So there's basically, you got the Astros a game up on the Mariners, who themselves are a game up on the Blue Jays, which basically, if you want to read it another way, the Blue Jays are a game back of the second wildcard spot and a half game back of the third wildcard spot. So the Astros, the way the Mariners are playing, the Astros might be the team to miss the playoffs at this rate, because they've been playing very, very well. And don't look now, the Boston Red Sox also playing well as well. Last I checked, Justin Turner had just made it 6-5 for the Red Sox over the Yankees in New York. But we'll check on the Bet365 standings update after the break. Let's see, Vincent Aurora, I think referencing the Godfather 3 thing. I was out, but now with this win, I'm back in. That's from Vincent Aurora. Guys, let's give Danny Jansen a bow. Offense aside, he is simply amazing behind the plate. No matter the pitcher, how much does he make the pitchers look good? Is he a top 3-4 catcher in all the bigs? That's from Josh in Alberta. That's a tough one. I don't know if I'd say top 3-4, but certainly he's been playing very, very well this year. You guys know I've gone on and on about the need to re-sign someone like Danny Jansen, even if you're giving him like 75% of that Sean Murphy contract that we've discussed in the past on pre and post-game shows. But Danny Jansen, like if he's not a top 4 catcher, he is certainly a top 10 catcher. Now, I'm hard-pressed to name every single other of the 9 members in the top 10. But I mean, if you're talking about the best catchers in baseball, I mean, after you get out of the tier of the Adley Rutschmans, the Salvador Perez, and I know he's an older guy, but I would still put him up there. JT Realmuto, Will Smith, right? Like, those are maybe four I would certainly take over Danny Jansen. But, I mean, it's not a long list, that's for sure. He's been great. And you know what? I do kind of wonder. I mean, it's insane to think that he's been hit by, I think Ben Shulman said he's been hit by 8 balls this year, when his career high in an entire season before now has been 4 for an entire year, and it's already 8, and we're only in, I mean, quote unquote, only August 20th. Ugh, that's tough. So you kind of hope that, and it's not just pitches when he's batting, but errant throws, foul tips, bats sometimes hitting his glove on follow through swings and so on. So I don't know. I guess you kind of hope that he doesn't play as much, if only because you kind of want his body to get a bit of a rest. But offensive side, like Joshua in Alberta is saying, he is absolutely phenomenal at the plate. Let's see. I see here Chuck in Oshawa. Good game today by the Jays. This is how they need to play more often. Smarter with their swings, challenging more often on the first pitch, moving the bases intelligently. If we make the playoffs this season, the return of Ryu cannot be emphasized enough, as his return has been crucial to us. Today, we seem to protect the plate more by shortening the swings, make a pitcher work harder. I wish our hitting coach would preach that more often. See, I actually take what you're saying here, Chuck, but I kind of also feel like a big part of the whole runners in scoring position and the approach of the plate, like certainly sometimes it's just they swing at bad pitches and you kind of think to yourself, what are they doing? But if anything, I think today does show that there is some element of luck involved, in the sense of what the other pitchers look like Hunter Green probably should not have pitched as long as he did today. Kind of felt like they just threw him out there because otherwise they would just have to tax the bullpen more than they wanted to. But like Blake was saying on the broadcast, I'm not sure what that does for your confidence, but hey, it is good to see the approach from the batters. Let's go back and hear some more sound. Actually, we heard John Schneider talking about Hyunjin Ryu. I talked briefly about the bullpen. Before we continue doing that, I want to hear John Schneider discussing Bowden Francis and how the offense dictates the use of the bullpen. I thought this was interesting. Here's John Schneider chatting with the media.
Yeah, no doubt. And congrats to him for his first save, you know, 3-inning save there. It's awesome to have a guy that has some built-in length there where he can finish the game, and another good inning from Cabrera. So when you're scoring early, it kind of allows us to dictate who's coming and how long they're going. So yeah, just offensive approach today was really good.
Yeah, so you got Yenesis Cabrera in the sixth, and then Bowden Francis cashing the save for the not oft-used rule, but in the win, you get 3 innings to end the game, and Bowden Francis cashes his first major league save, which is pretty cool. As far as Cabrera goes, so he comes out for the sixth inning in place of Ryu, and like we said before, the loud leadoff double from Spencer Steer. He gets the next 3 batters in order. Great stuff from him, and considering he had been effectively wild for the Cardinals in his St. Louis tenure, I'm actually genuinely impressed with his Jays tenure so far. Like, hard-throwing lefty, it's just, generally speaking, and I know you guys feel the same way, nice to have another very good lefty next to Tim Mayza, because it has got to feel good not having to deploy Mayza in every single pocket of lefties anytime they come to the plate, and also being relatively confident that Cabrera will be able to dispatch guys as needed. So it's just a nice development and a very tidy piece of work for Ross Atkins to go out and get someone like Cabrera to be used. And he has been used, relatively speaking, pretty often, which is pretty nice. I know Trevor Richards didn't have the most heralded of returns yesterday, and he obviously didn't see action today, but Trevor Richards is interesting because he is kind of like the, like, quote unquote, pseudo lefty. He's obviously not an actual left-handed pitcher, but the changeup for Richards, clearly not afraid to throw it to either side of the plate. So they do actually use him sometimes for pockets of lefties. But in terms of actual left-handed pitchers, Yenesis Cabrera has been great. And yeah, with a 7-run lead, you get Bowden Francis in the seventh, and he immediately gives up, or almost immediately gives up, the mammoth home run to the pinch-hitting Tyler Stevenson. But you know what? Francis has been asked to come in often in these situations to mop up. And I think we all feel better. I think almost goes without saying, but I will say it anyways. We all feel better about Francis having that mop-up role, considering before him, it was Mitch White, who couldn't handle that situation all that well. In the past, it's been Thomas Hatch or Casey Lawrence, who's now on another team. Who knows what the future holds for Bowden Francis? But I have said this before. I think there is something there beyond just long relief mop-up guy, whether you're up or down by a lot. You know, like the curve looks pretty good. He has pretty competitive fastballs. You can get them up to 95, 96 miles an hour. So while I'm not sure what his role will remain as, I do think the days of him being considered a starter are over, much in the same way that they are over for, let's say, Nate Pearson. But that doesn't mean he can't carve out a more important role in what is still a very good bullpen. And you know what? He also notched a save today, like we said. So that's always pretty fun. You know what? Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, go back to the phone lines, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Read a bunch more of your texts, 590-590, name and location. The People's Text Line is always open. And like we talked about, we'll check out the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. Check out the action around the AL East and certainly the Mariners and Astros series, which just wrapped up in the wild card race as well. So still lots to come on Jay's Talk. I'm Sho Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, I think it's just to take care of our own business, and we're not worried about what other teams are doing right now. We're going out there trying to win every single game, every single inning, and we'll check the box at the end of the year and see where we are. But I think right now it's just we're worried about playing our baseball.
That is Brandon Belt chatting to the media post-game. He of the two-homer game. Honestly, if you had Brandon Belt being one of the most critical parts of the top half of the order at this point of the season, you know what? You should buy a lottery ticket. I certainly, hand up. I did not think that. But hey, played extremely well today, and you would think he's going to factor in down the stretch as well. He just discussed the Major League Standings Watch, and let's get to ours, presented by Bet365, as we welcome you back to Jay's Talk here. Download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. So a lot of games in the books right now. The Orioles are actually in action right now against the Oakland Athletics. As you might imagine, the Orioles are up on the Oakland Athletics. Top of the fourth inning, Orioles lead 4-0. The Tampa Bay Rays actually did not play today. Kind of an interesting scenario that you don't see too often. They were playing the Angels in Los Angeles, and there was a doubleheader scheduled for yesterday because Tropical Storm Hillary made landfall in California today. So three series had games moved from Sunday to Saturday in anticipation of the storm reaching landfall, which it did. So hope everyone is safe out there on the West Coast. Certainly hope the same for everyone being affected by the wildfires in Yellowknife and Kelowna as well. Hope everyone is doing as well as possible. But as far as the baseball is concerned, Tampa Bay did not play today. So after splitting the doubleheader yesterday, they are 75-51. Orioles entering play 76-47 atop the division. Blue Jays with the win today, 69-56. The Boston Red Sox just wrapping up their game over the New York Yankees. They do win 6-5 in the end. Justin Turner with the game-winning RBI single, I believe. So it was 66-58 now, the record for the Red Sox. And with another loss, they've now lost 8 in a row. The New York Yankees, 60-64. And if we take a look at the wild card race, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but the wild card race getting very, very, very tight. The Astros losing 7-6 to the Seattle Mariners, who sweep Houston at Minute Maid Park. Because of the win today, the Mariners have now won 6 in a row. Houston on a 3-game losing streak after the 3-game sweep. Houston is 70-55. Seattle is 69-55. So that means, essentially, like we talked about before, the Astros are half a game up on Seattle. They're in the second wild card game spot. Mariners are half a game up on the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays, who are currently out of a playoff position, sit 2.5 games up on the Boston Red Sox. So that's a quick check of the St. Louis Barn Girl. Pardon me, the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. I do so many reads for St. Louis. I give them a free read today. Why not? All right, let's check in on the text line. 590-590. Name and location. A lot of people, actually, someone tweeted this at me as well, but a lot of people in favor of re-signing Hyunjin Ryu. Like, there is one here. Here it is. Kyle in Woodstock. Hey, do the Jays consider signing Ryu to a one-year extension next year for 10 to 15 mil a season if this is what he's going to give us? So that's Kyle in Woodstock. And then Ryan in North York tweeted this at me. Hey, Sho, the Blue Jays have shown an inability to hit against soft-tossing lefties. The Rays might sign him and come back to bite us in the butt. He gives us a reliable option in case Manoah implodes again next year, or Bassett. Again, it's not a bad idea. It's just I kind of wonder if maybe the dollars can be better allocated elsewhere, perhaps, of only because, I don't know. I'm not saying you don't want to have backup options. It's just I'm not sure you're going to see a six-man rotation all that often. Now, again, March/April of 2024 is quite far away, so maybe this is a conversation we can have a little bit later on. But if that is where they decide to allocate the funds, I'm not going to complain too much. It just perhaps feels like with some money coming off the books, it might open up other avenues for other players, especially if someone like Matt Chapman, for example, is not a Blue Jay next year. I see some more text here. Glenn in Bridgetown, Nova Scotia. Great to see Bo back. Great hitter. His presence was missed yesterday. I see here another one. Charlie in Hillsdale, great offense today, shaky defense in the field, strong pitching. Question, why was the infield fly rule not called the first game with Cincy when Vladdy intentionally let the pop-up drop? I got to check on the infield fly rule. I'm reasonably certain it is because there were not runners on first and second or the bases were not loaded with less than two outs. I think that's why, because I think that at the time it happened, there was one out, there was a runner on first, and that's it, I believe, right? So I think that's the reason it was not, the infield fly rule was not in effect, but I will double check that for you. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Chris calling in from Edmonton. Chris, what's on your mind?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good right now, show after that game, that offensive explosion. Definitely feeling good going into Baltimore. If those bats show up against Baltimore, I feel like we got a pretty good chance to take two or three. And then that bullpen, man, is that bullpen ever good? I tell you, are we ever deep? I was listening to, I think it was Blair and Barker, and they were talking about how deep our bullpen is compared to, like, and they were comparing it back to like 92, 93 when we went back to back. It's just, it's so deep. It's absolutely unreal how deep our bullpen is.
Absolutely. Hey, man, appreciate the call. Thanks for joining me, Chris, here on Jay's Talk. It's true. The bullpen is wildly deep. I've said this before, and I know Chris just mentioned B&B talking about this, but like there have been pockets of times in the last 30 years, basically, where the bullpen has been good. But I don't know that it's been this good since the Henke and Ward days, from guy number one all the way through to the closer. And then again, it's been a relatively small sample size for Francis, as we discussed before, but even for your mop-up guy, like the bullpen has been consistently very, very good. And you're still in theory going to see more from Trevor Richards, considering he's just coming off the IL. Wasn't that great in his one out in terms of worth of work last time out. And then you're still going to see Chad Green in the not too distant future. I am very excited to see what's to come for the bullpen. And as far as the offense goes, I mean, we haven't talked too much about it today, but Bo Bichette crushing a stand-up triple off of Hunter Green right away off the slider, something he did last year against Green. So very impressive, laying off a few fastballs to get there. Jays actually cash him in from third base in the same inning. And it's bad to say, I was maybe genuinely surprised that they did that after in the first inning, I should say. Bo also knocking in a solo shot in his third AB, which was great to see for Bo. But then, yeah, Kevin Kiermaier slamming a two-run shot to right field. Brandon Belt, we just talked about him and we heard from him coming back from break, crushing a homer in that same second inning. And it bounces off the top of the wall and then into the bucket hat of a Jays fan out in Cincy. I hope the guy is okay, but he took one for the team. Bo and Vladdy also just narrowly missing out on home runs themselves. The team starting very well offensively very early on. And yeah, like Chris says, the offensive explosion. 5 home runs today, 10 runs overall in a 10-3 win. George Springer, 2-run bomb. We talked about Belt and his 2 home runs. And you know what? It's a nice presence, like I mentioned before, as a lefty bat in the top half of the lineup. I do wonder maybe if Vladdy is day-to-day and he's not back in time for the Orioles series, maybe you do see Belt play more first base if there is something wrong with Vladdy's finger. Of course, Biggio, who came in for Vladdy, might be a candidate for that as well. But if you want to keep Belt's hot bat in the lineup, maybe you do give him some time at first. Although, defensively, you might want someone a little younger with less knee surgeries moving around out there in the infield. And Belt has moved well. I don't know if he's moved great, but he has moved well when he's in there defensively. But you do have some options in case there is something, quote-unquote, worse with Vladdy if it doesn't get better in the next couple of days. Dalton Varsho did not hit a home run today, but he did have 2 walks and a double in this game. And again, I generally fall on the side of a guy batting sixth instead of seventh, for example, is not going to by itself turn a game, but it is good to see Varsho move up in the order over Chapman, who we'll talk about in a sec, and continue to hit well. Chris Black, if you missed this, at Down to Black on X, not Twitter, almost said Twitter, has a great thread to follow on Varsho's approach at the plate, including that toe tap he's added before his swing. And you know what? If it's working for him, I hope it stays that way. But he's like a lot better at the plate lately. And even if he's not going to be a power hitter all the time, if he can just continue to get on base ahead of guys like Danny Jansen and Kevin Kiermaier, and you hope they stay hot offensively as well, then hey, no one is going to complain about Varsho too much when you add in what you get from him defensively and certainly on the bases. But on the Chapman note, maybe the only negative I have to get to today, because there was a lot of positives, but Chapman, he's struggling, right? Like he recorded two outs in the same inning today. Like the Jays literally batted around the Reds in the second, and it started and ended with a Matt Chapman strikeout and ground out respectively. Like he is really going through it right now. So in the month of August, he has a batting average. This was entering play today. He has a batting average of below 200. So I can only imagine after today in which he did not get a hit, that has only gotten lower. One home run and five total ribbies this month. The last RBI came in a three-run game for him. That was August 6th in Boston. And you know what? He did struggle a little bit defensively today as well. We saw that today, right? He bobbled the ball before a throw, and maybe some guy that would happen to a lot of guys, but you don't necessarily expect that from Chapman. He did make a not-so-great throw to second after a potential sack fly had already been turned away with a good throw into the infield from Varsho, who we chatted about before. Overall, he has still been one of the better defensive third basemen in all of baseball. I don't think two plays necessarily change that, but I do wonder if more people are slowly turning towards the whole let Chapman walk train of thought as we discussed yesterday. I mean, like maybe one of the LA teams, one of the New York teams, maybe Atlanta, any one of those teams could pay him a boatload of money. And I'm not sure I would think if it's going to be a huge money deal, kind of in the same way we talked about like what Brandon Nimmo got from the Mets after he was linked to the Blue Jays briefly in the offseason. If one of those teams pays him a boatload of money and he says, hey, Toronto, I'm getting a bazillion dollars from one of these teams, can you match it? I'm not sure the Jays should necessarily match it unless it is a relatively thrifty deal. And because he is one of the better free agents of the offseason, I also have a hard time believing it will be a thrifty deal. Like he's going to get paid. I think deservingly so, but he is going to get absolutely paid before next season begins. Late March, early April. So I'm not saying his time in Toronto is like 100% definitively done, but hey, it is. You are seeing the kind of ups and downs of someone like Matt Chapman. I'm just going to read a couple more of the text here. Nate in Ripley says, maybe I should buy a lottery ticket. In spring training, I thought Brandon Belt would be our cleanup hitter this year. I see here Keenan in Winnipeg. I really like the formation of the lineup tonight. I like how it looks and feels a little bit more spread out with Bo at 2, Springer at 5, Chapman at 7. I do agree with that. I think the way he's hitting right now, Chapman has to be in the bottom third, but there's no reason you can't move him back up as a reward if he picks it back up, kind of in the same way that Varsho was moved up to a certain extent. I see here a couple people driving back to Barrie from Cincinnati. We went to the Friday and Saturday games. It was great to see Bo back in the lineup. That's Patrick and Ryan currently in Detroit, and Warren and Megan via Cincinnati, let's say. Hello, while driving back from Cincinnati with the family, kind of wish we stayed for today's game. Very glad to see Springer back, and the team finally seems to be clicking. Absolutely. It's good to see. I'm glad you guys went down there. Never been to Cincinnati myself, but it looks very nice and sounded like it was a raucous crowd, and glad you got to take in some Blue Jays wins at the very least. Hey, everyone, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection. For a special summer offer on rust protection, visit crown.com today. For Ben Shulman, Blake Murphy, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho Ali. We're out of here. A day off tomorrow. The team heads to Baltimore. Barker's actually off this week, so Blair will be flying solo on JSOC for the O Series. I'm back for the Guardian Series at the Rogers Center. I'll talk to you later.